Good morning, my friends. This is Pastor Stephen Brooks. Welcome today to Morning Glory, our midweek Bible study, and I am so glad that you are here today. Now, before we jump into the Word, first of all, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your Word, and we ask that as we begin to study it and examine it now, that your Holy Spirit would come with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Thank you, Father, so that we can see it, apply it to our lives, and enjoy the wonderful benefits of walking in the light of your Word. Now, we thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, and together we say amen. Woo! Praise the Lord. Why don't you go ahead and mark your Bibles in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, and let me begin today by saying that a key method to develop your mind to a place of mental excellence is through the biblical art of meditation. What is meditation? Meditation is giving mental focus to issues of interest. After all, we're not really interested in something that we're not interested in. You know, also intelligence. Somebody might say, well, that person, maybe they're not very intelligent. Well, maybe it's because they're not interested. But if you take an interest in something and suddenly you're now having to learn something that previously you were not very excited about because it is now attached or associated to a passion, you'll learn it and you'll embrace it. Woo, praise God. So it is very important that when we meditate, that it does have a directed focus. Meditation is giving mental focus to issues of interest with the aim of enlightenment and illumination. I believe the light is going to come on today by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to see a way through, you're going to see a way out, you're going to see a way to get it done, and you're going to see that it is possible for you to receive God's best right where you're at. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, let's drop down to verse 12. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. So this would be written by Solomon. And I set my heart. So in other words, he set his heart. That means he became very mentally focused. And that you could say he completely made up his mind to engage in this endeavor. And I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. Well, that's a pretty big job, isn't it? Because there's a lot of things going on, especially today under heaven. Concerning all that is done under heaven, this burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. Now, verse 16, he says, I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. Now, notice again in verse 16, he said, I communed with my heart. And the communing with the heart is a form of meditation. And it is a way of talking to yourself, speaking to yourself in a soft way. You know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. He actually spoke to himself when he had that very dire problem at Ziklag, and it looked like he was going to be stoned, and his own men were talking about doing it, and the threat was real. Yet he encouraged himself in the Lord, and you have to talk to yourself, remind yourself of your destiny. Remind yourself of the prophecy spoken over you. Remind yourself of what God has revealed to you. And also remind yourself that there is no temptation that comes to man that is not common. In other words, it's not like something's coming that's so far beyond you, nobody has ever dealt with it or handled it before. No, it's common. Okay, so there is, because that's the situation, there is a way forward. There is a way out. And as you commune with your heart, like Solomon did, you're able to pull up godly answers. Woo, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And I do believe that this was a big secret behind the strange mental productivity that was demonstrated in the life of Solomon. Of course, we know the gift of wisdom was given to him. Or I should not say the gift of wisdom. I should say wisdom was given as a gift, because there is the word of wisdom, and sometimes people mistake that. But God gave him extraordinary wisdom, but we also see that he communed with his heart. So you focus on God's word, or you, of course, would have to dial that down because it's a pretty big book, right? So you focus on God's word, but you bring it down to a certain scripture, or maybe a couple of scriptures, so that you can lay hold on the substance of it. Meditation is a laser-like focus, not on the whole Bible, because that's going to take a long time to get all of that in. And we'll be studying this after we've been in heaven for a couple of thousands of years. We'll still be having Bible studies and enjoying the various layers of revelation that are unfolded by the Holy Spirit. But my friends, we do understand that we can meditate, take a certain verse, and really come in like a laser and focus on that and begin to lay hold of the substance of what God said. You know, pretty much all last year, I had one verse that I just fed on every single day. Now, I would, of course, teach different messages for Sunday and Wednesday, but in my own personal life, I was working this one verse all year long. And it worked really, really well. And it was about a month ago that it shifted, and the Lord gave me the new verse to focus on, and I've been on it every single day. Now, it's like a personal word to me, but I do believe I'll be with that verse every day until this year is complete. And when I'm saying that I'm with that verse, I wake up and I declare that verse before the Lord. And throughout the day, I speak that verse. And then I still, even though I've got it greatly memorized, forwards and backwards, I still take my Bible, open it up to that verse, and just look at it. And just every single word, take that sentence completely apart and digest not only the statement, the word, what God said, but the meaning of each word. Woo, praise God. And I've been living off of that and having quite a delicious time with it, I must say. Praise God. So you focus on a scripture, which is God's word, so you can lay hold on the substance of it. Praise God. I do think, to a certain degree, that meditation is a missing asset in the church today. And you want to add assets to your life. That's a good thing. So what I've noticed is that many believers, they are given to rigorous reading and, you know, diligent study, but they do it like they're trying to, like, cram for some kind of biology exam. I've seen them do it. I've sat on airplanes, and I could see a believer next to me reading their Bible, which is wonderful, but reading it almost like maybe like trying to speed read, or maybe trying to get maybe they've had a challenge where they're thinking, I've got to get 3 chapters in a day or something like that, and they're really just racing through it. But very few take time to ponder on the facts and the issues that are involved in order to absorb the material that they're reading. So, great example would be you could read through the book of Revelation, which probably most of you have, and you can read it, but really when it comes to understanding it, you really have to break that down. You have to break it down chapter by chapter. And sure, some chapters like chapter 13 are very exciting, you know, the two witnesses and the false prophet and all of that. So a lot of people would gravitate towards that chapter, which is what I've done also. It's so much fun to study, but there is so much in there and there's so many symbols. And also at the same time, you really need a working knowledge of the Old Testament, because that's where all the symbols are being pulled from. But you could read through there, but as far as understanding it, that's a completely different story. And the only way that you're going to get that is just slow down, study it, and begin to meditate on it. Praise the Lord. So what I would say today is don't just be a reader, although if you are a reader, you're way ahead of many people. There's a lot of people, they're not going to read. They want to maybe sit down and watch a movie that might explain it, or watch maybe a documentary explaining it. But there's something about reading that gets it into you in a better way, which is why God wrote a book. Now, I would say don't just be a reader, be a thinker. Woo, praise God, praise God. Give yourself to the art of meditation, and what will happen is that when you do this, you will begin to enjoy and realize there is a mental distinction that God is placing upon your mind and upon your life. And what you would want to do is you would want to begin to ask questions. You would ask questions like, is there a better way of doing this? And usually there is, but it begins with the question, is there a better way? Or am I paying a fair price? It kind of reminds me of the car dealership. You go to the dealership and maybe you think you're negotiating, and they give in and they say, okay, we'll let you have it for that price, but I'll tell you what, you better get it right now. I'm going to call the police because you just stole that vehicle. You've gotten such a good deal. You just stole it from us. And the whole time they go back behind the doors and they laugh because they know they're going to make $8,000 profit, maybe $13,000 profit. And you negotiated and got $2,000 off the MSRP, and you thought you were the total winner. And they're saying, yeah, you stole it from us. And the whole time they're just laughing because they know about rebates, and they know actually their cost as compared with MSRP. And so for them, so you want to ask, is this a fair price? I know you need to make some money. You're in the business to make money. And I need to buy a product, but this should be a win-win for both of us. And so what should you do? Well, sometimes you have to ask a question. Maybe call up somebody who would know, who would have information about that. We do that when it comes to buying airtime for television. Excuse me just a moment while I grab a drink. You know, when you call up a TV network or a television station and you want to buy airtime, they have what's called a rate card, which they never show you. They would never do that because they would lose their advantage. But they know exactly what their charges are, and they're going to tell you what the charge is, but they also know what their cost is. They know how much it costs to run that network or that station every month, how much it costs per week, how much it costs per day, how much they need to bring in. And so they factor this and they factor that, and they will try to sell a very high premium price. And if you don't know how to negotiate, or if you don't know really what the going rate is, boy, they could take you for a wild ride. And they'll say, God bless you, brother. I love you so much. We're so glad you're on our program. We're just so happy that you're here. I know they're just so happy that you're so stupid that you signed and that you're paying three times as much. And they're not going to tell you. They're not going to tell you that you're really overpaying. They'll just say, oh, brother, we love you. We're so glad you're on the air with us. Pastor Stephen, is it like that in the Christian industry? Yes. It's even worse. It's even worse than that. But there are some good stations and good networks. But all in all, though, you need to know what the rate is. And so that's the same, whether it's television ministry or whatever it is. And that's why I remember one time my wife and I, we were at a national broadcasters convention. So anybody and everybody, pretty much, if you're in Christian TV, you're at this annual convention. And so we were there. And, every kind of ministry, every kind of name is there, so to say. All the TV channels, networks, they're all there with representatives. And so I was sitting at the table, Kelly and I were, and we were talking with the salesman of one of these networks that we had already bought airtime with. And so we had bought it from him. He's their sales rep. And we had bought airtime for, we signed a contract and stuff like that. So we were just, sitting down and talking and strategizing maybe about expanding, going on for the next year. Maybe they had another satellite sister station or whatever. And this lady walked by while we were talking. This lady walked by and the salesman stopped and he looked at her and he said, that lady right there is one tough lady. And my wife and I said, well, who is she? He said, well, she is a negotiator for buyers. And boy, is she ever tough. And, that kind of like stuck with me and Kelly. By the way, guess who our buyer is for media? It's her. She's sweet, spirit-filled, loves God, but she's ferocious. When she negotiates, she knows what their rate card is. She knows They need to make some money. They have to pay their bills. But she knows you're not overcharging my client, Stephen Brooks. You're not overcharging Stephen Brooks International. She won't tolerate it. And we get some deals that are fair in both directions. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So what do? You ask questions. You meditate. What is the real price? Am I being taken advantage of here? Wow. Praise the Lord. Meditation brings mental distinction. If you've read but haven't assimilated much, settle down and begin to ponder over what it is that you've read. Get it into your spirit. Get it into your understanding. Praise God. Now, when you have hurdles and challenges, what you need to do is then you need to begin to grind it out mentally. That's also a form of meditation where you begin to turn those gears in your head and you begin to grind it out mentally. And while you're doing that, while you're thinking, the whole time in your heart, you are believing and releasing faith that there must be a solution to this situation that I'm facing. Because if you get a hurdle, you get a roadblock, or something that says you cannot advance any further, there is a way to go further, but now it's time to grind it out mentally. Woo, praise God. And I'm telling you what, you'll find it. God will absolutely help you find it. You know, we expanded the ministry pad site where we're going to build the new building because I was concerned about some of these trees that were a little too close to the pad site. So we had a developer come in and take all of those trees down. By the way, guess what? The biggest ones, when we cut them down from the ground up, the first 10 feet up, they were completely rotten and hollowed out in the center. And all it would take is one of those Carolina hurricanes. And although we're 5 hours from the ocean, we've had 60, 70 mile an hour winds here many times. And that's all it takes is one big windstorm. And over they come, down they go. But you know what? They're all gone. But this is what we did. We created a giant brush pile, 3 stories high. We burned everything that could be burned, but you can't burn stumps because they've got too much dirt in them and they retain a whole lot of water. So we had a problem. There were a couple of trees, like I'll give you an example. We had a red oak tree that was probably 120 feet high. Well, we got the tree over, pushed it over. The stump was so gigantic, it would not even fit in the back of the dump truck. So we cut the stump off from the tree. The tree, the wood was so incredible on that tree. We were like, we're not going to burn this tree. Some of the trees, the loggers came and picked them up, but there's very little money in logging right now. So unless it's a big job, loggers really don't want to spend that much time on it. So we just had some freelance loggers on the weekend that came, picked up as many loggers as they could. But on this giant red oak tree, this wood was like premium, like firewood. So I'm like, Lord, what are we going to do? I've got this big tree over here. I don't want to burn it. And so I went down to the intersecting road out of our driveway, and there was my neighbor going by. And I said, hey, you need some firewood? He goes, yeah, I could use some firewood. And we cut that tree up in pieces and took it over and gave it to him and blessed him with that. But we still had all of these stumps, and we had also a lot of what's called dirty dirt. When you begin to dig down deep, you get into the real clean dirt that doesn't have all the roots and stuff like that in it. But when you're clearing off topsoil, the top 2 feet, it's dirt that's got the decayed matter of all the forest leaves. It's got roots left over, and it's like what you would call dirty dirt. And there's really very little use for it. So we're like, we've got to get rid of that. So we burned the giant brush pile, but now we have stumps all over the place and we have dirty dirt. And so me and Kelly and the development team were like talking. We're like, what do we do with this? Because if we start hauling off all of these stumps and hauling off the dirty dirt, we're going to go over budget, way over budget. Well, now, Pastor Stephen, you just might as well just bite the bullet and just go ahead and, you know, and pay up, pony up. Well, hold on a minute. I believe we can get this done. Let's slow down here and think, what are we going to do? First of all, we took the giant excavator and were able to crack some of those stumps and split them to a degree where we could get them into the dump truck. But you can't haul them to the dump because the dump fees there at the landfill are too high. You begin to pay by the tonnage, and that one stump's 10,000 pounds, and we got a whole bunch of them. So what do we do with all these giant stumps? You can't grind them up, and you can't burn them. And now we've got all of this dirty dirt piled up all over the place, and it doesn't look good. So what do we do? Well, Pastor Stephen, there's no solution except you've got to bury it. Ah, the scourge of every land developer, something that you don't want to do. It can cause termites. It can cause bug infestations later, and it's going to sink. It will always sink down, and then 10 years later, you've got this depressed area, doesn't look good, and got all that stuff in there rotting and decaying. It'll be there for 100 years. Well, Pastor Stephen, that's your only option. No, let's think. Let's just all slow down here and think for a moment. What can we do? After all, everybody there was a Christian. Everybody there was a believer. Even the good old country boys driving the excavator and the bulldozers and the skid steers are all country boys that love Jesus. What can we do? Ah, then one had an idea. Hey, let me go talk to an old farmer up the road. I said, you know a farmer up the road? Yeah, he's just right up the road here. Let me go talk to him. I got an idea. He comes back, and here's what we did. The farmer had a spot on his field that was a low spot, and he wants everything flat and even because he's got cattle, and he's raising Black Angus cattle, but he's got this low spot that irritates him, and he would love to have it filled in, but he doesn't have the extra dirt to fill it in. Well, so my guy goes over and talks to him, and guess what? He says, bring it all over here for free. Dump it on my property for free. So the stuff we don't want, he actually wants. So all the stumps, we took them and dumped them for free on his property. Didn't pay a penny for it. All of the dirty dirt, then we took that and piled it on top of the stumps with the dump truck, just dumping it, load after load after load. And we didn't have to haul it to the landfill and pay those exorbitant prices. We actually were able to get rid of it all for free, and it blessed somebody in the process. Woo! And you can't get that unless you slow down and you begin to meditate and you think, what are the possibilities here? Well, how can this work? And so now, the whole pad site has been expanded. It's been enlarged because we enlarged the building that we're going to build. And so the plans were drawn out to be larger. Okay, so now that fits. Now, even if there's a storm, nothing can fall and hit the building. And very importantly, not one stump is buried anywhere on the property. And there's no dirty dirt piled up in a big yucky pile that you can't do anything with. It's all gone. It's all gone. Mm-mm. There's a solution. There's a solution. Praise God. Meditate. Woo! Glory to God. You're going to be shocked at some of the things that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you. And you might think in the natural, it may look like this is not going to work for you. I'm just telling you, God's got a million different ways of how he can move you forward. Cost effectively, no stress, no panic, just smooth and easy. But meditation is a big part of it. Praise God. Glory to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, what will enhance meditation is separation and quietness. And usually you've got to stick them together. Separation and quietness. Let's go over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. And I'm so glad that you're here today, hungry for the things of God and wanting to have some wonderful experiences with the Lord, and you're going to. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Woo! Praise God. You know, there's an atmosphere that actually makes meditation easy. Where you can just get into that atmosphere And now you can really begin to think. And it is true that in so many ways, we mostly live in the midst of noise, even if you're in the country. I mean, crickets, cows, birds, bugs, the cicadas are about to come out. They've had their 13-year hiatus, and they all came out down by South Charlotte, all by the Concord area. Cicadas going wacko, bzzz, jumping out, big red bulging eyes. If you don't know what those are, you can just Google them sometime. I'm glad we didn't really have much of a manifestation here. We just had a few pop out, but down there, boy, they had them like crazy. So city or country, there is noise everywhere. And noise can be a nuisance. Sometimes it's designed to be. That's why the big heavy machinery, whether it's a garbage dump truck that's backing up, they've got all the beep, 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 and just a very irritating noise. That's why you'll hear it and get out of the way. But what do you do when you're around that all day long and all this noise just everywhere? So noise can be a nuisance. So we have to seek for seclusion. We have to look for separation so that there can be quiet seclusion. So you have to separate yourself to have appointments with God's wisdom. Praise the Lord. Here's a great example, one that's really not focused on very much in the Bible. Now, we love Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, but I want to go in a different direction, and I want you to see Genesis chapter 24, and this chapter has got a lot of verses, but let's go all the way down to the bottom of the chapter to verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Wow. So he's in the field in the evening and he's meditating. This is a very soothing time. The sun is going down and you have that golden sunset moment. That is the moment that all photographers look for. That's the moment that if your videography is being done outdoors, you want that soft sunset light. It's very hard to shoot in glaring bright light. So you want like a soft box type light, and that's what the sunset gives you naturally. But there's something also about that where there's like an energy. You have a similar type of situation around a waterfall where you have ions and all of these particles that are going on with the activity of the water molecules moving. There's something very soothing about that. But even more so with an evening sunset, as it begins to go down and you get that beautiful melting orange type color. You know, this was well over 20 years ago. This was before the year 2000, where this would have been the year, I think, maybe 1998, maybe 1999. But this went on for month after month after month, where every Sunday, now it was only once a week, but every Sunday, like around 7 o'clock at night, our church did not have an evening service. So on Sunday night, the Holy Spirit would move on me tremendously strong to go out to a certain softball field that was close by my house, and there was nobody playing softball, so the little field area was empty. And there was a drawing to go there and walk back and forth on the bleachers during sunset and pray in tongues. And I couldn't escape it. I would have actually been disobedient if I had not gone. That drawing, the pull, was so strong. And so I would go out there, and I would usually pray in the Spirit for an hour, sometimes 2 hours, just walk back and forth on the bleachers by the softball field, praying back and forth in the Spirit while the sun would begin to slowly, slowly, and eventually be all the way down. And when it was all the way over the horizon, then that anointing would lift and I would go home. And I wasn't quite sure at first why the drawing was so strong, but after week, as I would go, often when I would walk and pray in the Spirit, I began to see that God had an international ministry for me. And it was in 1998 that I incorporated the ministry and called it Stephen Brooks International. And a lot of that, I do believe that was 98 when I was doing all that walking, because I began to see nations and I began to see just being able to take the gospel around the world. And we're doing that today with over 1 billion potential satellite viewing audience. Praise God. It's actually well over a billion with the various networks that we're on. But I was picking up on all of that when I would walk those bleachers and watch the sun go down. And it's like Jesus was walking there with me. And it was just awesome times. It would go by so fast. 2 hours just go by so quick. And I'd be so happy. It's like everything was sparkling on the inside of me. And I got to enjoy watching the sun go down. Well, I did that for about 2.5 months. And then on one Sunday night, we had a dinner appointment. So it was my wife and I and one of our church members. And so I was pastoring a church that time in Southern California. And so we were having dinner. And right during dinner is when I was supposed to be walking the bleachers. Well, we were having a nice meal, and we were actually talking, and this brother had invited us out. He's paying for the meal and everything. Kelly ordered her food. He ordered his, and I ordered mine. And when my food came out, the steam was coming off the food. The food was so hot. And I looked at that food, and I had such an urgency on the inside of me that I almost began to like panic. I said, Kelly, I've got to go. She said, do you need to go out there and pray? I said, yes, I can't explain it, but there's such a draw to meet the Lord out there. I've got to go. She said, go ahead and go. And so I left all my food just sitting there on the plate, didn't touch a single thing, and rushed out there. And I think because I got out there so quick, the Lord was still happy because I was able to kind of pretty much still get it all in. But I literally walked away from everything week after week on that night to do that, and did it for at least a year until there was like a satisfaction in my heart that whatever I was praying out had been prayed through. Woo! Praise the Lord. And so today, some of those things back then that were just a distant like, oh, wow. Today, I'm actually walking in them. Right now, this very moment, walking in them, enjoying them, preaching the gospel all over the world. Thank you for your partnership. I can't do it without you. Glory to God. But to be able to pray it in. See, that's also a part of meditation. Get quiet. Look, there was nobody out by that softball field. Get quiet. Focus. Lean in. Lean in. So you can mix tongues and meditation together. I call it like stacking. In bodybuilding, when you're trying to get in the necessary nutrition, you have to stack. You've got to get your protein powder. Then you've got to get your other supplements, and you create what's called a stack, and you find what works for you. And usually it's not just one thing. It's maybe 5 or 6 things, and you get it all together, and that's your little thing, and that's kind of like how you begin to operate. Well, that's how I would work that. I'd go out and pray in tongues, but I would meditate. I could start to see my future. Look, please listen. Look spiritually. If you can see it, you will go there. If you can see it as the Holy Spirit begins to unveil it to you, I can guarantee you, you're going to stand in it. Woo, praise God. Even if you don't know how, the Holy Spirit will help you. He will unveil the way. Praise the Lord. So you can mix meditation and tongues, and you can have your own golden sunset Jesus times also. It may not be during sunset. It may be at 2:00 in the morning. Okay. You and the Holy Spirit will work that out. But go with the flow on that. And I had almost an identical thing happen some years back. We're here, you know, we have our facility here in Moravian Falls. We have the classic old sanctuary built in 1877. We have the fellowship hall. We have these beautiful grounds right here. But I kept praying. I kept praying because I knew God had the future ministry headquarters for us somewhere, but I never knew quite exactly where it was. And Kelly and I have driven all over this county looking for it, could never find it. Just looked under we've probably driven every street, every road, probably in the entire county over a 10-year period looking for the property. Now, watch this. I had a stretch where for over 2 years, it was actually almost 2.5 years, for 2.5 years, every single day, listen carefully, even if it was pouring rain, even if it was winter or even if it was blistering heat, every single day I went out to our local airport and I would walk this loop that was about a mile loop. I'd start at the furthest hangar, I'd park my car, get out, and I had my dog. That was Truffles. Truffles has graduated to heaven, but I'd take Truffles with me. I'd start way back at the back, then I would walk, and then I'd go past the main entrance FBO, fixed based operation. Well, that's where when you fly in, that's the local greeting place. Okay, so I'd go by there and wave at the airport manager, or wave at the workers, and then I begin to walk past all the hangars and I do this big kind of like a loop thing. Now, a lot of that you can't walk today because they've got it, more of it is like fenced off, and that's fine. But I don't need to walk it today. Why? I got it done. I walked out there for 2.5 years. Every single day. And I would say, Lord, I thank you for my jet. Lord, I thank you for my hangar. And I thank you for this property. I have no idea where it is, but I thank you for the miracle property you have for me. Woo! Well. 2.5 years praying in the tongues and walking out there, sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes an hour, usually an hour, and just, meditating. God, you got it. I worship you, and there's always a way with you forward. And so, guess what? Never in the history before, this property came on the market, and we bought it. And because of your support, we were able to put the down payment. We bought it, and because of your further giving and support, we paid the whole thing off. We own it debt-free. When it came on the market, which was what, like a year and a half ago, it had never, ever in the history of the world been on the market. You can look on the records going back on that property. It had never, ever been for sale. It had been in the family for so long that it had been there longer than what the county records even show for like original, like where it all came from and stuff like that. And when it finally went on the market, we were right there, bought it immediately. And I didn't even know it was for sale. Now, how crazy is this? For 2.5 years, while I'm out there walking, saying, oh God, thank you for my jet, thank you for my hangar, thank you for my ministry property, never, never in my wildest dreams did I think was even possible that I would own the property right adjacent to the airport. Now, God is my witness. Every week, I get an offer from somewhere in America to buy that property. People all over America want that property so bad, and I can show you the paperwork. I'm not going to, but I every week, usually two, sometimes as many as four. Four cash offers to buy that property. This from all over America, investment companies, bankers in Houston, bankers in Charlotte, bankers in Washington, all over the country, I have had offers, and I get them every single week to buy that property, and I'm not going to sell it. Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you, you can come on that property and you can feel the presence of the Lord. I'm not selling that property. Woo! Praise God. Amen. My friends, when you meditate and you begin to dial in on what God has for you, it's only a matter of time. And by the way, we also have permission from the county to build our hangar. There's a site for where we can build it at. That site abuts right next to our ministry property. I'll be the only one who will be able to walk from his property to the hangar. Nobody else could do that, praise God. And only God knew that. Praise God. Let me say this. The effect of Isaac's ingenuity is still being felt in the nation of Israel today. Now, this is the guy that God said, don't go down into Egypt. You stay here and I'll bless you right here. And he did. So he obviously started thinking, well, if I'm here, I better start planning something. But he's sowing seed in the middle of a famine, but he did it anyhow. God blessed it. God multiplied it. He reaped 100-fold in the same year. Get ready for your harvest also. This is going to be a year for you unlike anything you've ever had before. You're going to have the suddenlies of God. You're going to have the breakthroughs of God. Get ready. The resistance will melt like hot wax before the Lord as he comes on your scene and changes your situation. Woo, praise the Lord. But the effect of Isaac's ingenuity concerning these areas of sowing and farming is still being felt in the nation of Israel today, which was formerly a very desert place, but it's now a blossoming garden that exports food literally year round. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you have any drip irrigation systems at your house, perhaps in your lawn, because you have water sprinklers, you can thank the Israelis for that, for they were the ones who invented drip irrigation. I want to say that quietness enhances the quality of your meditative thinking. Let's look at this for a moment in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 10. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. So quietness enhances the quality of thinking. I want to add that quietness also enhances productive reasoning. In other words, productive reasoning is like this. There's got to be an answer. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to think. You know, one time I sat down to write my first book, and I don't know why. Up before then, I'd written partner letters, and I had written like sometimes even real lengthy partner letters, and I'd written different like little maybe editorial type stuff. But when I sat down to actually write my first book, and I'm looking at, you know, Microsoft Word document, and I'm looking at that white blank page, I went totally blank. And I had no explanation for it. I'm sure it was something spiritual, because when I was ready to write, I just thought, I know what I want to write about. I've got it all kind of like cooking and swirling. And when I sat down to write and I saw that white page, I went totally blank. I couldn't write anything. It's like, Lord, what am I supposed to do about this? Well, I meditated and I thought, There's a solution. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I probably should have somebody pray for me who's a great writer. And within days, God had me in the home of a person who wrote a book, and the book went all over the world, celebrated all over the world, a very spiritual book. And I happened to be in that person's house, and I said, hey, by the way, I'm getting ready to write my first book, and I seem to have a little bit of a blockage here. Would you pray for me? The person laughed and said, sure. And hands were laid on me, and a prayer of blessing was spoken over me. And the next day, I wrote like something inside of me was unleashed. I went from like a garden hose to like what a fireman would use to put a fire out, like a fireman's hose. I mean, it just went just completely, no impediments at all, just flowing like, whoo, like crazy. Praise God. Glory to God. So quietness produced that. I realized I need somebody to pray for me. Now, I didn't know it would happen so quick, and I didn't know that it would be by a world-renowned author, but I tell you what, that dislodged any writer's block. It was gone. It was instantly gone. Praise God. And for those of you, you have something to write. You have something to say. You have something to tell. You have something to sing. I release that anointing to be in the flow now in the name of Jesus. Receive, receive, receive. Maybe you're an inventor. There's been a blockage. Maybe you've got the invention diagrammed out to a certain degree and you feel it now a block, or maybe even the beginning. I release the flow right now in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're a shipbuilder. Maybe you're a draftsman. Maybe you're a vehicle designer, concept designer, and you had something just block. I release the flow now. Go in the name of Jesus, and it's going to flow. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we give you all of the glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. In moments of quietness, strength that you need is released. Quietness is an investment into your future. And let's go with just one more verse, Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Let's drop down to verse 9. With my soul, I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me, I will seek you early. So nighttime often is actually the quietest time. And if you can work that out where you can still get the sleep you need, then I would encourage you to experiment in this area of meditation at night. Utilize the night season to lay hold on answers that will make the people of the earth respect you. The devil would snicker and laugh, and he would do it through people that would say, "She'll never succeed. Well, he'll never get anywhere with that. Just watch and see." Oh, they're going to watch and see, all right, that somehow you got the answer that you needed, that somehow God supplied you with the resources or the information or the open door that you needed. Oh, they're going to see, all right. Utilize the night season to lay hold on answers that will make the people of the earth respect you. Those who don't honor God, or maybe those who snicker at the power of God, they're going to see. Amen. So meditation can be very, very fruitful and productive at nighttime. Now, let me pray for you. Father, I pray for those listening and meditating on what is being taught. I pray that you help them to move beyond just reading and help them to come into being literally thinkers, deep thought thinkers. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. And they're going to do a world of good because they're willing to slow down to get the right solutions and answers. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We give you glory. Let that anointing touch them now. Grace for meditation. Grace for meditation and what will enhance it. The things we've discussed today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Maybe you should have a place you call your meditation room. I mean, you could call it your Jesus room, your secret place, or whatever, but maybe you want to call it, this is my qualitative meditation room. That sounds kind of technical. Maybe we should invite Einstein into the room. Maybe we should ask some grand chess masters come into the room. But this is my meditation room. Praise God. Praise God. By the way, what makes a grand chess master? You have to be able to see it like on a 3D level, not just the next move. You've got to be able to see the whole board. And if you're struggling to memorize the board, you're not even anywhere close. They can see the whole board while looking off to the side. And they're not bored and they're not watching something on the wall. They're actually seeing move after move. They're calculating everything, what that person could do, potentially do, how they could respond. All of that is going on. Phenomenal meditation. Praise God. But with the mind of the Spirit, with the mind of the Anointed One in you, you're going to do some things and come up with some things that are very, very creative, very, very captivating in a very beautiful way. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. If you don't know Jesus, receive Him into your heart. I want to pray for you. And let all this be turned loose in you. You need Jesus. Every destiny is hidden in Him. So you've got to get your life right with Him so that you can come into the fullness of what He's made available for you. But first, it all begins with salvation. Pray this prayer. Say, "Lord Jesus, I repent of all of my sins. Please forgive me. Wash me with your precious blood. Wash all of my sin away. Save me now. Write my name in your book of life. Step into my life today, Lord Jesus, and lead me and guide me in all that I do. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In your name I pray. Amen." And he heard that prayer, and may I be the first to welcome you into the family of God. Praise the Lord. Now, I want us to take Holy Communion today. Then I want to show you a couple of pictures in a short little video. Okay? Stay with me. Grab some unleavened bread, a little cracker, and some grape juice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the bread and the juice. We set this apart now as being holy through this prayer, and we thank you that this is the body and the blood of Jesus. Father, as we receive the Lord's body, we thank you for the grace for meditation, biblical meditation, and getting your word on the inside of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's partake of the Lord's body. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. It's beautiful, powerful, cleansing power. We thank you, O God, that we are in Christ. We have the mind of Christ, and we are the righteousness of you, O God, in Christ. We thank you that we have right standing with you through the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say amen. Let's receive together. Praise God. Well, a lot of good things going on out on the ministry property. We have been working on the road coming in. Check this picture out. Here we have developed the road in the sense where we've cut it deeper. We have a bank on the left, and the road is going to be double wide. It's going to extend even to the right, twice as much as what you can see right there in that picture. But here's the next picture. We've already got the grass down. We've got the matting down. Got the new trees planted. And would you believe the grass is already coming up? Woo, praise the Lord. It's going to be looking really good. That's the entranceway into the property. And we have lately been dropping load after load of crush and run gravel so that we can get that on top of the dirt so that we don't have to drive around in mud, but get that good crush and run down, which is a mix of granite and limestone dust. And that makes for a great sub foundation for later when we have to pave the driveway and pave the parking lot. Here's a little video of some of that fun stuff of dumping all the crush and run gravel. And we were honored also to have a very dear friend of ours, Brother Dubi Sabo and his wife in Bali from Jerusalem, Israel, came all the way here to North Carolina to hang out with us and spend a couple of days with us. And we talked and covered many things. And I actually had Dubi come into the studio with me and sat down. We recorded a conversation that he and I had together that I will soon be sharing with you. And we talked about, you know, what's going on in Israel right now. But Dubi really wanted to come out to the property and see the new land and see what we're doing out there. So we took him out there and showed him around. And I tell you what, he just could sense the presence of the Lord. And while we were there, he just broke out into a prayer. He prayed the prayer in Hebrew, and then he also prayed it after that in English. I want you to hear this beautiful prayer in Hebrew because God's presence is all over that property.
שיוכלו לטוס לכל מיני מקומות וקהילות על מנת להביא את דבריך חיים לכל מקום והמקום. Lord God of Israel, the creator of the universe, almighty God, the God of the armies of Israel, please cover Pastor Stephen and Pastor Kelly here with your grace, for they have committed themselves to love you, to love your people, to speak your word, to bring your news to the world, to go and evangelize. Grant them the anger and the plane that they need so they can get to more communities and more congregations to bring your good news, to bring your good works, to make people aware and come in alignment with your will on earth. These are people that have adopted Israel. They love your people. They have committed themselves to your land as they know your grand plan for the end days. They know the prophecies of God. They know what you have in store for Israel and for the Gentiles to get together so they can continue their mission throughout the world. Make sure that they will be able to build their center over here, death free, with abundance to remain. Yeah. Just like Micah filled up his prayers to God, I want you to grant them with all the treasures of Amos, that they'll be flowing out of the money case, out of the storage, out of the safe. There'll be a flood of funds so they can give it to the people that you wish them to bless, so they can bless your people. People are seeking you, God, for your kingdom to be on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Lord God of Israel, I pray over these people, over this blessed land. Provide for them. Provide for them. Provide for them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. The Lord is good. Well, my friends, I know these messages are blessing you. I want to put up on the screen right now ways that you can give. There's text. You can give by text, and you could mail in an offering, and you could also bring an offering online through the ministry website. And let me say this, Brother Doobie shared with me a video from one of the Golani soldiers. You know, we support the Golani Brigade. They're known as the Silent Wolves, and we support them. And Brother Doobie shared a video with me, and I don't have that video at the moment, but it's one of the Silent Wolves wearing the holster, one of the holsters that we purchased for them, and he's standing there, and he's saying to us that they really do need some protective goggles. One of their fellow soldiers lost his eye because a bullet from somebody in Hamas was shot, and they did not have the protective goggles, and he lost his eye. And, you know, in our military, you're issued standard equipment. But in the nation of Israel, they simply do the best they can. Their soldiers are given good gear, but sometimes they don't have enough, and they simply don't have enough goggles. So these are goggles that are ballistic. They have ballistic ability. In other words, if the goggle takes a bullet, it will not shatter, it will not break, and it will protect the soldier's eye. These goggles also can change colors, where at nighttime they fade into like a different type of color where you can see better at night. And would you believe I actually own a pair of these goggles, because my wife and I, we both have certain types of certifications with firearms. And so I actually have a pair of these goggles in my truck, and they cost about $150. And Doobie said, Pastor Stephen, if we could get some of these for the IDF men there with the Golani, I can take them back and these men will put them on. If you want to help me do that, it's $150. And you, with a $150 offering, can literally put a pair of protective eye goggles on an IDF soldier to protect their eyes. And one of the men did just lose an eye. It's totally unnecessary. So if you want to do that, here's the easiest way. Go to stephenbrooks.org. Look at the top. There's a header that says Give Online. Click that. It takes you to a giving page, and you'll see it say Fund, F-U-N-D. Click that. There's a drop-down menu. Scroll down, and then where it says Silent Wolves, click that, give your offering. And you may want to give more, but $150 will allow Doobie and I to buy goggles, protective goggles that are ballistic ability, that give also their night vision, and the soldiers can get them immediately. When I say immediately, Doobie, he's a former commando. He's former special IDF special ops. He can go right on the base, and the goggles that we buy, he can take them right on the base and put them into the hands of the soldiers. Soldiers take them, put them right on their head, and start wearing them. And they don't have them to wear. Many of them don't have them. I'm telling you, your $150 will go right onto the head of an IDF soldier and protect their lives. Now, how cool is that? Amen, amen, amen. So if you want to sow a special seed like that, that is an opportunity that we have to do something to be a blessing, okay? $150 will buy a pair of those new goggles, and we'll make sure they get it. And you know what we'll also do? I'll show you pictures of them wearing it. I'll even try to get a video. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what? I have a lot of emotions when I talk about this. Some of the guys, when we were with some of the Golani soldiers last time we were in Israel last year, they're dead. One of them, Sergeant Dorr. He was like 6'8", basketball player, handsome guy, you know, full of life. And he got killed by Hamas on October 7th. So let's do what we can to love on the Jewish people. Let's do what we can to be a blessing to Israel. And we can do it in a real, tangible way. I'd love to hear from you on this one. Just click that link, $150, and Doobie will take our gift. And everything's accounted for. Everything is overseen properly. He'll take it and put it in their hands. Woo, praise the Lord. And that's you. That is literally you taking a protective item and putting it on the face of an IDF soldier. And remember, there's some ladies in IDF too. So you sisters that want to bless some, you know, every unit has 100 and it's like 125, sometimes 127 men and always at least three women. Okay. So they need them also because they're in battle as well. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your giving. Father, bless them. Bless your people. They're sowing. I thank you for those that are tithing to support the ongoing work of this ministry. I thank you for those that sow special seed and those that are also right now showing some love to Israel. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. And they need it, Father. They need it. They need it. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your people giving right now. I thank you that you see that they're protecting the sight of the Jews. I thank you that many are going to come to know Jesus as Messiah. But in the interim, we're just going to keep on loving on them. Thank you, Father God. Keep on loving on them. They know what we believe. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Your gift is blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. All right. A lot to meditate on. Thank you for joining me today. I look forward to seeing you back again real soon. Have a great rest of the week. Bye-bye.